Joining us on the line now from Spruce Grove, Alberta, by way of Antigonish, Nova Scotia, I should point out, is John Angus McDonald from The Trues. It's brought to you by Entertainment Wrap-Up. Get your fill of celebrity news and gossip every day at entertainmentwrapup.com. The highs, the lows, mostly the lows, from the celebrity world and the rich and famous at entertainmentwrapup.com. Happy Canada Day to you, John Angus McDonald.
Happy Canada Day to you, Jeremy.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time. I know the band is gearing up for the main stage at the big 150 party there in Spruce Grove, right?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Should be a great evening.
Well, I guess that's one thing that we can say about Canada Day, and I guess just Canada as a whole, whether you're at home in Nova Scotia, Toronto, wherever you might live, it is just home. You can celebrate Canada Day anywhere, and it feels like you're home, don't you think?
Yeah, well, most definitely. I mean, Canadians, they seem to have some kind of inner magnet that attracts them to one another. You know, no matter where we go in the world, I'm always so impressed to see Canadian flags. So many Canadians find us no matter where we're playing. And more specifically, Nova Scotian flags. You know, a lot of Nova Scotia proud people out there as well. But it's a great thing. It makes us feel right at home no matter where we are.
You know, you mentioned that when I was in Cuba a few years ago, it was almost shocking, actually, to see a Canadian flag on the back of a bus. And then I thought, wow, that's really what people think about our country, though. They're willing to have our flags flying in their own land.
You know, we've played in Dubai to many Canadians. Australia, tons of Canadians in Australia, they come out of the woodwork every time we tour down there. We've been to Cuba to play, believe it or not, since you brought Cuba up, and found Canadians there. We find them everywhere. You know, down in the south in the States, over in Japan, Europe. I mean, I don't think there's a single trip the band's taken where we haven't had a Canadian, and even more specifically, an East Coast Canadian, track us down, and they want to buy us a Keith or take us golfing or, you know, show us a good time in the place where they live now. But they miss home. It's like, I mean, it's inevitable. You know, everybody misses home no matter where they find themselves in their situations and lives. And it's one of those things we're happy to fill that void for people wherever we find ourselves.
Let's go back to the coast for a second. I mentioned Nova Scotia at the top. Admittedly, when you think of Antigonish, a place of maybe 10,000 people, I don't even think that.
Less. When I was there, it was about 5. I mean, it swelled to about 4 times that size during the St. Effect school season when the university was in session. But yeah, about 5,000 people live there year-round.
And there's a Boston Pizza, from what I understand.
There is now, but that wasn't there when I was growing up. It was all about the wheel. Like, the wheel is their sort of, like, calling card in the pizza department. It's world famous. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a shame to see some of those big boxes moving in, but it's the inevitable stampede of progress.
But it's interesting, though, that people on the East Coast, you know, we've had Alan Doyle on our show from Great Big Sea, from Newfoundland, and Natalie McMaster, you know, PEI, but there is just something about the East that is a gem to this country. And if people have not gone there, I know when I was there in Newfoundland for the Junos several years ago, you feel like you're in a different country, but it's still Canada, but it's still so different, don't you think?
I think that about Canada in general, you know, I feel like it's a loose affiliation of many different places and ways to live. I mean, I'm glad that we did it the way we did, and I'm glad we can call the whole place our home and the whole place our country. But I mean, every little area has a really unique and distinct way of doing life, and the East Coast is a huge example of that. Definitely, you know, laid back, low key. I mean, depending on where you are, if you're very rural, it's extremely under and undeveloped. And I say that in a good way. It's nice to be able to get away to places like that where you feel like you're still in some untouched land, you know?
Let's talk about the music scene in rural Nova Scotia. 5,000 people, maybe. What was the music scene like when you guys were getting started? Because you've been together since, well, even before 2000, right? 1990?
Yeah. We got together in, like, the 97. I mean, I was 15, maybe 14.
Right.
We were, like, me and my brother Colin is a singer, and Jack, who's been there since day one, our bass player. We were super young, just like 14, 15, 16 years old, starting a little rock group on the East Coast. We were the scene there at the time. I mean, there was the sort of hangover of the Halifax grunge movement, the sort of Seattle East thing that went on. We didn't really feel any of that. We were a little too young. and we live too far away. You know, Antigonish is 2 hours from Halifax, so you're really like out in the boondocks compared to the big city of Halifax. So it was like, it was traditional music all around us in every direction. And at the time, I think we pushed it away. You know, being angsty teenagers that we were, we wanted to play rock and roll and we wanted to play it loud and hard and heavy. But in hindsight, it seeped in all kinds of inevitable ways, and I'm really glad that it did. I mean, the community of the traditional scene is what really strikes me as being so unique and beautiful, like a wonderful thing. It's such a community-oriented thing where everybody in the kitchen is invited to grab an instrument and get involved and play, and normally everybody can, but, you know, they put a lot of other parts of the world to shame in that talent department. And that sort of, like, aspect that everybody's in it together, it's not like a huge star culture on the East Coast, which I kind of miss sometimes. Yeah, everybody's involved. Everybody's making music together, and it's a big party, and everybody's invited and welcome. And that's probably what I like the most about it.
I imagine it's a big change, though, when you go from playing smaller, and I'm going to use the word intimate venues, but with rock music, you know, as intimate as you can get, but to now you're playing stages where you have more people there watching your concert than in your hometown, basically. So what is that like now? Because you're taken into a much bigger spectrum at that point.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as you go as a band, you sort of like recalibrate what it means to be successful. And that just continues. It's almost like a never-ending process. You know, when we were kids, like, you know, starting out, we just wanted, like, the girl we had a crush on to show up at the show. It didn't matter if there was 10 people there, as long as she was there, or he was, you know, as long as the popular, whatever it was. You know, your ambitions are strange when you're 15 or whatever.
Right.
You know, for us, it was like a big series of baby steps, I think, that led us to the place we are now. We always took things sort of in stride, and we just tried to keep our focus on the music and pleasing ourselves and the people that were in the audience with us. So that's just been a gradual thing like that, to the point where then you realize, yeah, like, this is, it's amazing to be here. Every now and again you have I guess you call them like pinch me moments, where you're like, oh, never would have thought that it would have led me here, but I'm sure glad it did.
So you mentioned these pinch me moments. I want you to name drop for a second, because you guys have worked and played and toured with, or whatever, lots and lots of really big names. So name some of those for us.
Well, you know, we've shared the stage with so many of our heroes. I mean, it's we've been really, really lucky in that department. The Rolling Stones invited us to open for them in Toronto in 2006, right around our second album. We went on tour with Robert Plant around that time, and you know, Guns N' Roses and Kiss and Aerosmith, and yeah, it's a pretty long list of Cheap Trick, people we've been lucky enough to collaborate with in one way or another.
Springsteen.
Springsteen, oh yeah, Bruce Springsteen. Forgot about
him. No, you can't forget Bruce, no.
Yeah, he invited us up on stage. Actually, that was near to home. We did a show at Magnetic Hill,
right,
outside of Moncton, a big festival show, and we met him just before he went on, and he invited us on stage. He said, you know, come out in the encore, we're going to do Twist and Shout. We're like, what? Really? What? Okay, better start pacing ourselves, boys. Start watering the drinks down a little bit. But yeah, we ended up on stage with him. Some sort of magical things that sort of have come our way over the years, in between a lot of waiting around and riding on buses and flying around on planes. But, you know, sort of those are the moments that are really, they sort of jump out.
I was going to say, you could almost put them into a time capsule. Huh?
See what you get? I've got a nice segue. I like that one.
Well, I mentioned it. Give that a quick plug for everybody. Tell time capsule.
Yeah, well, our latest release, our label sort of called for a greatest hits album, which kind of blindsided us. We had no idea. I don't feel like we've been around long enough to have one of those, but I guess we have. You know, 15 years can go by in a blink. So here we are, you know, with 5 studio albums and a couple of live albums and an EP out. So we just combed all the records and tried to put together a good playlist that's sort of representative of what we've been up to this past 15 years. And we put 4 new songs on there just to sort of point the way forward and let people know that we aren't packing it in. We got a long road ahead of us. But this is a good little stopgap. And I think in the age that we live in, It's a good starting point. You know, if people want to check the band out that haven't yet, this is a good place to start. You know, it's a good collection of what we've been doing since we started.
Well, I know they're checking you out in Spruce Grove for the Canada Day Bash. You guys are closing out the night, from what I understand.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I mean, I think this year, this is going to be the biggest Canada Day party we've had yet in our 150 years. Mm-hmm. So I hope everybody's out in full force to enjoy it.
And where can everybody stay in touch with the band? You guys are on social media and all those places, right?
Yeah, just, you know, if you Google The Truths, you'll find it all there. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the website, it's all there. Check it all out.
Well, I will let you get back to the band because you guys have a big show coming up. Well, you know, happy Canada Day to you and the guys. Pass along my my wishes to them.
Yeah, happy Canada Day to you as well.
All right, John Angus McDonald from The Trues, live from Spruce Grove, Alberta. This is Canada Day Live.